Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast. That piece of intro music was created on GarageBand by Harley in year 4, and we have another special musical treat coming up later too. More on that in a moment. Before that, coming up on this week's episode, we have our off-script feature where we discuss the recent news regarding the new asylum bill. We hear about the school's World Book Day events, a geography project in year 3, a deep dive into the history of Nintendo, and the most subscribed YouTube channels. We also have some interesting facts about the world, the best ice cream flavours, and the best mythical creatures. Our teacher interview this week is with Mrs. Taylor, and our dose of music this week features an amazing original rap written and performed by 2 Year 5 children. Definitely one to stay tuned for. We kick things off with Off Script. I sat down with our Year 6 podcasters to talk about the leading news item this week, the Asylum Bill. Right, guys, I suppose we should start off discussing what it actually means. So what do you understand by this asylum bill that's been launched this week?
Okay, so from what I understand, so this might be completely wrong, the asylum bill is going to stop people going in small boats coming into the UK, and also stopping people from safe countries from even, like, claiming an asylum thing.
Okay, and do you understand what the term asylum means? What does that mean, to
like
claim
safety.
Asylum? Yeah, so what sort of people need to claim asylum?
Like people who are in, like, war zones, people who are in, like...
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, so people who live in countries where they do not feel safe. Yeah, so if they're in a war, then they might need to seek asylum somewhere else for their safety. But what we're finding at the moment, there's been a growing trend for a long, long time of lots of people coming over to the UK illegally. They're coming over on these boats, and there's been lots of things in the news, some of these boats sinking and people dying, people getting really risking their lives to try and gain safety here because they're not being let in otherwise. And the escalation of all these boats means that it is part of the reason why they've introduced this asylum bill this week. What are your thoughts on it?
So, I don't think it's necessary, because why should it be illegal? People are trying to escape war, otherwise they'll pretty much be toast, they'll be dead. So it's basically, do you want to die or do you not want to die?
Yeah. Well, I think they should be able to come in, because otherwise, like Lachlan said, that they have a chance of dying. But if they just, I don't see the problem in them just coming in and just living in England.
Yeah, so why do you think some of them are risking their lives coming over by boat and not just coming over on a plane and being let in ordinarily?
Because that's not what either governments are letting them do. The government that is in war is busy in war, and the UK government is just batting their eyelids. So they really have no other choice.
So what do you think our government should be doing?
Our government should, instead of banning these people from coming in, they should, I don't know, help them to come in.
Yeah, they could send over their own boats to pick up the people that need to come back.
Okay.
So it will be safe.
Yeah, they could just do that. I mean, it's probably much easier than people risking their lives to get out of there, but and then just dying on the boat when they come.
Yeah, like, at least there's a chance of survival when you're going on a boat. While it's more, there is still a chance of survival, but it's a lot slimmer.
Okay. So you feel like our government should be doing more to help these people, yeah?
Yes.
Why is it our responsibility? They're not from our country.
Well, it's the right thing to do, you know? It's just, of course, the government probably isn't really concerned with it's the right thing to do, they looking, but it just feels you should help these people in need, and if not to just do the right thing, at least get some good press out of it.
Yeah, good press is an interesting point as well.
But unfortunately, that's just not the world we live in.
Yeah,
we've all been taught to, like, be kind, so they're kind of like disobeying what they've been told as a child.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, we are very lucky to have been born and grow up in a country like this. Other people are not quite so lucky, so they are seeking to come to a country like ours that is a safer place to be. So why do you think the government are reluctant to maybe help more people like that? What do you think they are, is their view? Why do you think they're not necessarily allowing as many refugees into the country as maybe we should?
My opinion, I don't 100% see how this could be, but monetary incentives.
Yeah.
That's just how the world works. This is just a world where people don't care about people. They care about pieces of paper that have little numbers written on them. And the illegal people are coming on these boats, coming over there, means they don't have to pay for plane tickets and they don't have to pay for this and that and that and this. So let's ban it and make it 100% illegal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the government aren't doing it because maybe they're scared that their soldiers will get killed. But
yeah, because if the people that are fighting the country that the people have left from work out that all the people are fleeing to the other country, they might start fighting that country.
They could do. And yeah, I think you know, a growing population, whether that's people who are born here or people coming in here from the other countries, obviously the economy would be affected by that, wouldn't it? We have more people in this country, so you need more NHS care, we need more houses, you know, everything to facilitate all those people. So the government would see that as an expense that they, at the moment, seem like they're not too keen on spending. So yeah, it's a really tricky one, because I think there needs to be a balance. You know, I agree with you that I think we should be doing more. We should be doing the right thing to look after people. But I suppose we can't just let everybody in, otherwise we'd be inundated, wouldn't we? And the country would be overrun, really full. Our services, the country wouldn't be able to run as smoothly if we had too large a population, perhaps. So the government are trying to do something.
I have a rebuttal for that.
Go for it.
If we lived in a perfect world, the UK wouldn't be the only ones trying to help. Everyone would be trying to help.
Yep.
You know, other than the two countries at war.
They'd
be trying to help everyone, and so there'd be an equal spread of people to help other people. But unfortunately, the world we live in is a world where pieces of paper are deemed more important than human lives.
To some people.
Technically pieces of plastic now.
Yeah, indeed. I think the other thing that strikes me is that, according to reports, that other countries around the world are doing more than we are. Yeah, there are countries who are allowing more refugees in than we are. And as a country, as I say, that we are a pretty stable country, a pretty secure country, perhaps we should be doing more. But yeah, it's a complicated matter, but I think it's clear sort of where our views sit. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
I mean, I do agree that it's kind of a bit unsafe them travelling like in small dinghies with loads of people. So I think we should just help them by sending proper boats that they can come back on.
Yeah, yeah. Safe transportation, absolutely.
Yeah, but again, we live in a world where pieces of paper are, some people deem them more important than human lives. And also technically they're pieces of plastic now because the government changed it to plastic because it's less terrible. Whatever.
You're talking about money, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, just to be clear. Absolutely. Yeah, money makes the world go round, unfortunately, and it does bring its issues. But yeah, an important issue. I'm pleased that we've had an opportunity to discuss it. So thanks very much for your input as always, boys.
Thank you.
Next, we have Layla and Fiore to tell us all about the extravaganza that was World Book Day at Manor Lodge last week.
Hi, my name is Fiore.
And my name is Layla. Today we are going to tell you about World Book Day,
which was Thursday, the 2nd of March. World Book Day is a special day at Manor Lodge.
We both love World Book Day.
Also, we heard from our teacher, Mrs. Heyer, you may have heard of, that we could pick our own assemblies to go to.
And we could also choose our own activities.
This year, we had to dress up as something that is a colour that we like.
My favourite book is Ted and His Time Travelling Toilet, Shakespeare's Shake-Up. It's all about a boy called Ted, and he has this special toilet that he can time travel. You should read one.
My favourite book is Cat Kid Comic Club Collaborations, which is about baby frogs that who made their own comics. Some can be less grateful than others, and four of them are going to get theirs published.
Also, this year, we are giving books to a school called Barnfield Primary because they don't have many books and we wanted them to have an amazing World Book Day.
Also, World Book Day was created by UNESCO on the 23rd of April 1995 as a worldwide celebration of books and reading. It is marked in over 100 countries around the globe. The first World Book Day in the UK and Ireland took place in 1997 to encourage young people to discover the pleasure of reading. Thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed
and learned something.
Next, over to Hugo to tell us all about a geography project he's been doing in Year 3.
Hi, my name is Hugo. Currently, in Year 3 Geography lessons, we are learning about America. Here are some facts for you. America was formed on the 4th of July, 1776. This is known as Independence Day. There are 50 states, including Florida, New York, Washington, and Hawaii, the only one not part of the mainland. The largest state is Alaska, and the smallest state is Rhode Island. The capital city is Washington, D.C., where the president lives in the White House. The first president of the USA was George Washington. The current president is Joe Biden. America is the third largest country in the world, behind Russia and Canada. The flag is made up of 50 stars and stripes. There are 50 stars, one for each state. The unit of currency used in American is dollars. Famous landmarks in the USA include Empire State Building in New York, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Basketball, baseball, American football, and ice hockey are popular sports in America. English is the most common language in America. However, more than 300 languages are spoken. There are some differences between American English and British English. Can you guess the British English for some of these? Elevator. Lift. Cookies. Biscuits. Candy. Grade. No, candy. Sweets. Grade. Mark. Fall. Autumn. Sneakers. Trainers. And vacation. Holiday. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed my part of the podcast. Bye.
Now here's Erin to tell us about some of the best mythical creatures.
Hello podcast listeners, my name is Erin and today I'm going to talk to you about the best mythical creatures. Be aware that this is my opinion, so if you think differently, that's okay. Number 1. The unicorn. This creature is graceful but dangerous. The unicorn is said to have a horn that zaps fluid. This fluid is fatal to all predators. Number 2. Cerberus. This dangerous creature has 3 heads, each of which are dangerous animals. A snake, a crocodile and a lion. Number 3. A griffin. This creature has the head and wings of an eagle and the rest of the body is in the shape of a lion. Number 4. The phoenix. This is an amazing creature who can set itself on fire and be reborn from its ashes. Number 5. My personal favourite is the dragon. This majestic creature is a fire-breathing professional and can come in lots of different shapes, sizes, colours and species. I hope you enjoyed my part in the podcast. Bye.
A tasty treat next as Ruby is here to talk ice cream.
Hi, my name is Ruby. I'll be telling you the 5 best ice cream flavours ever, based on careful research and my opinions too. Started with cookies and cream ice cream flavour. This ice cream is great with a waffle cone. It is delicious because it has loads of different desserts all put into one together. Vanilla ice cream is number 2. This ice cream is perfect with mini marshmallows. The ice cream is delectable because it is sweet and creamy. Thirdly, chocolate ice cream. This ice cream is perfect with extra sprinkles. Chocolate ice cream is so good because it isn't too rich or too light. Number 4, mint choc chip ice cream. This is perfect with a mini mocktail. Mint choc chip is yummy because it actually has fresh mint in it. Finally, strawberry ice cream, my favourite. This ice cream is perfect because it has the ripest strawberries ever. Bye, podcast. See you soon.
Now, Obba has been doing some research into the history of Nintendo, so here he is with a fascinating story.
Nintendo is an awesome company, creating Mario, Zelda, and more. So let's trace their history through time. Nintendo started as a gaming playing card company. But Crazy 8s is only fun for so long, so the toy industry was next. But action figures and love testers know actually from 1966 is only cool for collectors, so they turned to the man. So they turned to video games and watches and arcade games featuring the man, the myth, the Italian man with a mustache, man, Jumpman to be specific. But soon gone were the days of arcade cabinets. Those were so 1972. Now the Famicom was unleashed to Japan. What about the USA? Well, the great video game crash of 1983. The USA was in the process of erasing the video game industry entirely. So who would be brave enough, strong enough, fun enough to... Yeah, it's Nintendo, you can probably tell. So, by disguising their video game console as a video player, Nintendo single-handedly saved the entire gaming industry. So what's next? A portable video game system, that's what. The Game Boy was innovative back then, which is strange because it only had one colour, green. But boy, it sold 180 million, to be specific. Then Nintendo decided to make another Famicom, but this time make it super. They also plan to create a CD-ROM with Sony, like PlayStation Sony, like sold 52 million units Sony. Yep, but Nintendo being Nintendo, they didn't like Sony's control over it, so betrayal. They worked with Sony's enemy, Philips. Dun dun dun. So the PlayStation was born. Nintendo's worst enemy. Oof. Then Nintendo fumbled again. They correctly assumed VR was the future. They got the date wrong, though. Instead of 2020 and onwards, they were thinking more 1995. They were wrong, and the sales show it. The console that killed Sega, the Dreamcast, sold 9.13 million. The Virtual Boy, 770,000. But after a low comes a high. The Nintendo 64, capable of 3D games and holding classics like Banjo-Kazooie and Super Mario 64. It sold not as well as the PlayStation. But then there was the Game Boy Color that wasn't all green, and the Game Boy Advanced, which was like the Game Boy 2, and then the GameCube that was crushed by Sony and Microsoft, who just entered the console space. But the high point was about to come. The DS and the Wii were the consoles that saved Nintendo. More specifically, the Wii, as it brought casuals into the gaming space. And then, the crash. The 3DS and the Wii U were just both pointless gimmicks for the side of consoles. And the Wii U was a new console, not an add-on. Wow. But now, we're at the present, where Nintendo isn't dead because of the Switch, a handheld and non-handheld in one. And despite its many problems, Nintendo is here to stay. Thank you for listening.
Sticking with technology, Harry and George from Year 4 are here now to tell us about the most subscribed YouTube channels.
Hi, I'm George.
Hi, and I'm Harry.
And today we are talking about the most subscribed YouTubers in 2023. Number 10, Vos Sabia. The Portuguese titled channel translators to Did You Know? Brazilian YouTubers Lucas Marquez and Daniel Molugni host trivia and top 10 videos of anything and everything. They have 44.2 million subscribers.
Number 9, Felipe Neto. Brazilian YouTuber Felipe Neto earned the recognition of having the first Portuguese-speaking YouTube channel to reach 1 million subscribers. He uploads reaction videos with his friends and won the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards for Favourite YouTuber in Brazil. He has 44.8 million subscribers.
Number 8. Fernan Flew. Hailing from El Salvador, Fernan Flew specialises in horror games. He terrifies himself for the entertainment of his viewers and posts vlogs, skits and funny stories about his experiences. He has 45.6 million subscribers.
Number 7. Jujia German. Chilean gaming YouTuber Jujia German plays games from his various genres. Currently, he's trying to branch out into the world of music with his second channel, German Garmin Dia. He has 47.2 million subscribers.
Number 6. Dude Perfect. It all started with five lifelong American friends who went viral off a video of them performing a variety of trick shots at a friend's house. Now they have made content based on sports, challenge battles, and even more trick shooting. They have 58.7 million subscribers.
Number 5. Vlad and Nikki, the first children's-themed YouTube channel on the list. Vlad and Nikki frequently do silly challenges to make their audience laugh. These kidfluencers started out in 2018 and have been consistently uploading multiple times each week, who have 93.2 million subscribers.
Number 4. Like Nastya. Russian YouTuber Nastya and her father enjoy making videos together as they create educational content on the importance of eating healthy food, washing hands and being a good friend. They tell their stories through creative skits and songs, who have 104 million subscribers.
Number 3. Kids Diana Show. Another child YouTuber, this time hailing from Ukraine. Diana and her brother Vema have the most successful kids rated YouTube channels, where they do educational skits and adventures that cater to preschoolers. They currently have millions of worldwide viewers and their videos are translated into 20 different languages, who currently have 108 million subscribers.
Number 2. PewDiePie. For the longest time, PewDiePie has dominated YouTube. Starting out as a Let's Play channel for horror games, Felix has terrified himself for the entertainment of his viewers. Even though he's not number one in terms of subscriptions anymore, he was the first solo content creator to reach 100 million subscribers. Many of his audience have been watching him through the years and have formed a bond with Felix, feeling as though they grew up with him. He has 111 million subscribers.
And finally, the one you've all been waiting for, number 1, Mr. Beast, the biggest solo YouTuber of all time. Everyone knows who he is and what he does, but if you need a refresher, he hosts a lot of charities and gives away millions of dollars. One of his most recent viral videos has him pay for 1,000 blind people's surgery to help them regain their vision. They have 132 million subscribers.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Layla is back now and she's been researching some fascinating facts.
Hi, my name is Layla and today I'm going to tell you 10 interesting facts about the world. Number 1, the best place to see a rainbow is in Hawaii. Number 2, glaciers and ice sheets hold about 69% of the world's fresh water. Number 3, the fastest gust of wind ever recorded on Earth was 253 miles per hour. Number 4, there are fossilised plants in Greenland under 1.4 kilometres of ice. Number 5, whale stones can be used to map out the ocean floor. Number 6, new creatures have been found in deep sea volcanoes. Number 7, Mount Everest is bigger now than the last time it was measured. Number 8, climate change is causing flowers to change colour. Number 9, the Mona Lisa has no eyebrows. Number 10, the hottest chili pepper in the world is so hot that it could kill you. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something today. Bye.
And finally, we round off with our teacher interview. This week, James and Lachlan put the questions to their Year 6 maths teacher, Mrs. Taylor.
Hello. Today, me and Lachlan will be interviewing our very own maths teacher, Mrs. Taylor.
First question, what was your primary school called and did you like it? So I was born and brought up in Northampton, and I went to a school called Northampton High School all the way through from 5 to 18. Wow. Yes, I loved it. It was an all-girls school, but it was really, really exciting because I had the same friends and then built lots more friends, those that came in the 11 plus. And I really just enjoyed all the facilities that we had. We had a brand new building built, so we had a really new sports complex with, you know, our own swimming pool, but also the teachers. We had a mixture of young and slightly older teachers. But yeah, I'm still friends with 10 of my friends that I went to school with. So we've been to each other's weddings and stuff. So yes, it's been lovely. And we had the Queen open my school back in 1992. And I was the head girl of the school.
Wow, that's super cool.
What was your favourite aspect of maths in school?
So, in my maths lessons during probably year 8 and 9, we actually had a really fun teacher called Mrs. Drinkwater. And what she loved doing was sewing. So, in a lesson, she'd teach us something and then she'd sit and start sewing. And we'd all be a bit like, it was quite fun because she kind of let us get on with it. As long as we were doing the work, she let us get on with it, have a bit of a chit chat. But the most amusing aspect of what we were doing was graphs, because some of our graphs went a bit horribly wrong and curves. So I quite liked that aspect just because of the fun factor during the lessons. But actually, what did I enjoy the most in terms of my mathematical sense of it all? I think has to be algebra.
What was your favourite childhood book?
Ooh. So I loved all of the books that some of you have read. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We also had to read some of these books for literature. So my favourite literature book that I did was To Kill a Mockingbird. So that was an incredible book, and actually we got to analyse it and interpret all of the different aspects of it, and it kind of brings into play a lot of different prejudices that happened around that time, which was good. And you probably don't go into that much detail when you're reading a normal book just at home casually.
What was your favourite chocolate?
Oh, now you know me. I love lots of chocolate. So I would say my chocolate bar would probably be, I'd say a Twirl, just because, although the orange Twirls are really nice now as well. Actually, when I was at school, we used to have something called a tuck shop, and I don't think they're healthy now, so you can't have them in schools. But we used to get a tuck shop where we could buy chocolate bars. We used to buy crisps and little bottles of cherry Coke. I have to say, all the time, I used to buy an Aero mint chocolate bar, so maybe that was my favorite, and it's kind of become the Twirl now. Not chocolate bars. I love a Ferrero Rocher. Who doesn't like a Ferrero Rocher? Can you tell I like a lot of chocolate?
Me and James are both going to St Albans, and they have a tuck shop.
Oh, what do they sell? What do they sell?
They've got like chocolates and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yes, I like that.
What were your hobbies?
So, as I was growing up, I did lots of ballet and gymnastics, and I did lots of regional competitions with gymnastics, which was really fun, quite intense because we had to do rehearsal or practice 3 times a week. And as we got to our GCSEs and A-levels, it was just a lot harder. So I ended up giving it up just before year 11. But I really enjoyed it because I'd been doing it from the age of about 5. But it's exciting because you meet different people, and I really liked the teacher, so it was quite fun because she made everything interesting and not just exercising and, you know, practice, which was good. We did hoop, ribbon and ball routines as well.
What was your first job?
So, at the age of 14, and you can't work until you're 16 now, but back then, when you were 14, you were able to go and get a part-time job on a Saturday. So I used to work for a shoe shop, and I don't think it exists anymore. I don't even think Barrett's exists anymore. It's called Saxone Shoe Shop, but you wouldn't have heard of it. And I used to earn a measly £1.80 an hour, and I was on my feet for like 7 hours. Yeah, I know. So that's what I used to earn. years ago. I don't think anybody would do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor, for all your input.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me, boys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Mrs. Taylor, and as always, thanks to the children for all their hard work, and to you for listening as well. Now, if you're interested in some further listening, I listened to a particularly good podcast this week. I regularly tune in to the High Performance Podcast with Jake Humphrey and Dr. Damien Hughes. And this week, their guest was Dame Stephanie Shirley, who was the perfect guest to link to International Women's Day this week. I was really struck by her inspirational story. She arrived in the UK as an unaccompanied child refugee at the age of just 5. She was looked after by a foster family in the Midlands, and they soon found that she had a real talent for maths. However, at that time, when we're talking in the 1940s here, maths was only taught to boys beyond a certain age. So she had to pass several exams to actually get into a boys' school in order to carry on her maths. So she did that. And then when she left school, she got a job building computers and writing computer codes, which traditionally at that time, again, was only done by men. And she grew increasingly frustrated at the inequality around that time and the lack of opportunities there were for women. You know, in the 1960s, when she was a young woman now, women couldn't even have their own bank accounts without a husband's permission in person. It sounds maddening. Stephanie, though, did set up her own company, a software company, and she employed mainly women who could work from home as part of the company. Now, that might not sound particularly special now, but at the time, it was a real groundbreaking concept. And she continued to grow her business. But in order to do so, she began communicating with other businessmen under the name Steve instead of Stephanie. She found that her letters that were signed off by a man were much less likely to be ignored. And it worked. You know, her business grew and grew, and it took many years. But around the year 2000, her business had grown to a value of $3 billion. You know, from a child who had arrived in the UK with literally nothing, she had worked hard, fought against inequality, been innovative, and become one of the richest people in the world. However, even more inspiring, from there, she then used that money to set up charities and foundations and hospitals to help people with autism after her son had needed specialist care for that condition. And she's basically given all of that money away. She's now not quite as rich as she was a few years ago. You know, she's approaching her 90s now, and she's achieved so much, and I just found her really inspirational. I'd highly recommend you listen to that podcast episode or seek out one of her books. She reveals that there are talks underway to turn one of her memoirs into a TV series, so watch this space for that. Now, from one inspirational woman to two more inspirational young ladies here at Manor Lodge. Here are Millie and Aria from Year 5, who have written and performed a fantastic original rap that they have titled the MLS Rap. Take it away, girls.
Let us show you how to do it, yeah. It's 5 MMLS, we never get less. Mr. Yeldon, Miss Hilton is a sporting field. Memories are sealed, this place is magical, lunch so good, it's dripping on wood. Get a ride in the coach that could go. MLS rocking it, 5 M calling it, yes, 5 M nailing it, doing it. It's those 5 M and teachers, they will never leave us. Saving the environment like a Thunberg and stopping melting icebergs. If we're reading, we're writing, out at play we are sliding. It ain't the weekend, but this is so fun, yeah. Let's go, RM. To the L, to the S, to the hard RM. To the L, to the S, to the chord. Hey, see anybody could show you a school. You need MLS to blow your mind.
Your mind.
Yeah.